Back to the Michael Kulig Show. So last week, I sat down with Congressman Don Manzullo. Literally sat down. You can actually see the picture of it on the Michael Kulig Show fan page on Facebook. But the picture is so much less interesting than the interview I'm about to play for you. Here we go. We're in person with Congressman Don Manzullo, most likely your congressman. Congressman Manzullo, welcome back onto the Michael Kulig Show.
It's good to see you, Michael.
Good to see you in person. You usually come on by phone a lot of times from Washington, D.C., right before or after a big bill. There are a lot of big bills coming down the pike that a lot of listeners are interested in. Let's talk about first this financial regulatory bill. What are your general thoughts about that?
Well, I sit on the Financial Services Committee. And I'm on the subcommittee that deals with the stock market and with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So you can imagine where we've been in the midst of all of that. The problem is that this bill will institutionalize too big to fail. And it sets up an apparatus within the federal government that can jump in. And if a company that's considered too big to fail is about ready to go under, the company can actually be seized by the federal government, the same way that the FDIC can seize a bank that's going under. But a bank pays money to the FDIC, realizes that it has to meet the requirements of the FDIC. But now it can, any institution that could create what's called a systemic risk or a big loss to the economy, Treasury has carte blanche just to step in and take it over. And they can pick and choose which creditors to pay and which not to pay.
Now, the Senate, the last we heard, is that they are not going to filibuster this, and they think that it possibly maybe could pass in the Senate. If it comes to the House, is it, as it stands right now, something you could vote for or no?
Well, probably not, because it's too big. But the House passed its own version, which was a combination of half a dozen or more bills that had passed through the committee. That happened maybe 4 months ago. I voted against it because it does nothing to solve the problem. It gives more authority to the Fed to regulate instruments, such as mortgage instruments, and credit criteria, when the Fed had that authority all the time, but did not want to get involved because it thought that it could impair the sale of homes. So why give more authority to the same organization that had the power to stop it in the first place? I mean, what we've got here is a moving target. The authority is there. You just have to be careful that you don't do stupid things, such as selling a home to somebody who doesn't have enough money to make the first payment.
The other big issue that the whole country is talking about, of course, is illegal immigration. The Arizona bill, which should become law any day now. They say 90 days after it was signed, it should start to be enforced. How do you see Illinois and northern Illinois? We have a lot of immigrants here. We also have probably a lot of illegal immigrants here. Do you see Illinois facing some of the same challenges that Arizona might?
Not to the extent. Arizona has 400,000 illegals, and they're right on the border. The issue is Arizona, out of total frustration with the federal government, decided to take the federal law and enforce it in state court. So they created nothing new, and I mean it's out of complete failure on the part of administration after administration, started with President Reagan. You know, he passed that amnesty bill to give citizenship to 2 or 3 million people who were here illegally. And the other half of that bill, he was supposed to seize the borders. And the purpose of seizing the borders was to stop any further illegal immigration. So you deal with those who are here, you make them legal citizens, you seal the borders, and therefore you don't have any new people coming over. Well, the borders have not been sealed, and now we have between 10 and 12 million illegal or undocumented people living in this country. And Arizona reached a certain point, they said, we can't take this. It's interesting to note that 1/5 of all the federal prisoners are illegal immigrants. It's about 50,000 out of 225,000. Harvey Lappin, who is the director of the the Bureau of Prisons gave us that, gave that to us. But the controversy that it's evoked is people saying, well, we want controversial, or no, we want comprehensive immigration reform. Another name for that is amnesty.
Yeah, you hear that from Janet Napolitano and, yeah, and from the Secretary of the Interior. Oh, this is just another reason why we need comprehensive immigration reform. That is code word for amnesty, well, isn't it?
It is. The, you know, all kinds of plans. Well, you can work your way to citizenship. You know, my grandparents came here from Italy, and they follow the rules.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people, a lot of Hispanics, who are upset over the fact that people should be given preference and be made citizens when they've come here illegally. I mean, people say, well, you know, the Hispanics are upset. You can't talk about one group as being for or against the bill. We have many, many Hispanics have talked to us and said, look, we know there's a problem, but we believe there's something called the rule of law and everybody should follow it.
Congressman Manzullo, you brought it up. You mentioned the word prison, and a lot of listeners feel like that Thompson prison situation is not in the news anymore, so it must have been resolved. It hasn't been resolved, has it? What is the latest on the Thompson prison in Thompson, Illinois?
Well, I was at the Guantanamo Bay just this past weekend, and it's, as you know, it's a naval base, and then a portion of it is set aside for the purpose of dealing with the people who have been seized.
The enemy combatants, yeah.
The enemy combatants. It costs the taxpayers somewhere between $350 and $500 million to build the Gitmo Bay facility for the terrorists. And just last year, $37 million was spent on a new prison, $18 million spent on a new state-of-the-art a courtroom. The admiral who's in charge said there are 1,950 personnel that watch 183 people. Now, the Bureau of Prisons has one guard for every five prisoners. And the terrorists have at least 10 guards for every one prisoner. To give you an idea of how dangerous these people are. And he said that Gitmo is, quote, an active battlefield because detainees are continuously planning operations, end of quote. And I stopped him and I said, what did you say? He said, this area is treated as an active war zone because of the danger of the people that are there, and not only the danger there, but we know when Catherine Sebelius was governor of Kansas, and McCain and others wanted to move Gitmo to Leavenworth, and she said, we don't want those people. Not that they would ever break out, but that they would create an unsafe environment because of the attraction.
Yes, I think most people in our area agree with that completely, that we don't want the terrorists to be moved here for no other reason than they'd be a target. And heck, the the attempted attack in New York just shows you that there are people in the civilian world who are not behind bars right now who want to do harm to us. But have you been contacted by the administration or anyone? Like, what's the status of that?
The status is this. It was built as a maximum security prison several years ago. And we've always believed, we've written letters, talked to people, open it up, either open it up or sell it. You can't run it for state of Illinois facility, sell it to the Bureau of Prisons.
Right.
And that's what they're planning on doing. But let me give you an angle here that most people don't realize. I asked the admiral in charge, I said, you have 1,950 people guarding 183. I said, can't you consolidate? He said, no. He said, we have seven distinct camps down here. He said one is for Area 7 is for high-value prisoners. They call them high-value. And that's Kahid Sheikh Mohammed is there. We're in his compound. They're a group. Then they have the leaders. And they have to physically separate the leaders from others because the leaders are able to communicate with their eyes. The leaders can tell people to commit suicide just with their eyes.
Wow.
And I asked him about communications. He said, we cannot, it is beyond counting the communications that go on between these, or among these prisoners, and the outside world. And so we talked to numerous of the soldiers and sailors. They're absolutely astounded that Gitmo would be moved to the territorial United States. Nowhere in this country, notwithstanding the fact that there are terrorists that are housed at Terre Haute, Florence, Colorado, and Marion, Illinois, nowhere in this country do you have military guarding non-military people. Those people are guarded by the same ratio as the Bureau of Prisons, which is one guard for every five people. So now you would have the group from Unit 7 coming. Those are the leaders of Al-Qaeda in the world, waiting to go to trial. Then you would have the people that are called the leaders that can control people with their eyes. And 80% of the 183 in Gitmo would be in a communal setting, so that they would not be locked in their cells except 4 hours a day from midnight to 4 a.m. The rest of the time, they'd be in a communal setting with up to 20 people, and you would have your choice. Lots of TV, small amount of TV, and no TV. Plus, they have soccer fields, state-of-the-art exercise equipment, and so you would have the terrorists that would be treated much more humanely, for lack of a better word, than the people who commit crimes in the United States, all within the same facility.
And 99% of these guys, we might add, are not American citizens. They do not fall under the U.S. constitutional rights that, let's say, a serious crime doer in Illinois who was born in the United States and actually is protected under the Constitution has.
As the prisoners become residents of the United States, as opposed to Gitmo, they take on additional constitutional rights.
So they don't have them right now in Gitmo, though, do they?
Well, they're very limited. For example, you have habeas corpus that applies. And so now we're faced with spending at least another $350 million in Army retrofits to Thompson. This is in addition to using the money to buy Thompson as a standalone prison, all for the purpose of eventually guarding 48 people. Thompson, Illinois would have 1,400 people guarding 48. You'd have about 500 soldiers and then 900 soldiers and civilians, and the latter 900 would be in Rock Island monitoring computers because of the threat that these people pose. They are extraordinarily dangerous people. Not that they would ever break out, but they serve as a magnet. And that's all we need, is to have a magnet in western and northern Illinois for terrorists to come and hang around their friends.
Right. Congressman Don Manzullo, it's going to be an interesting summer. Lots of campaigns all over the country. You, of course, are up for re-election as well. Anything else you want to add to the listeners of northern Illinois and western Chicagoland before we say goodbye?
No, except that you're doing a good job. People want more and more information. We found the more information you give somebody, the more they want. Well, that's good. Americans are informed at a time, at a height I've never seen before. That all proved itself with the health care hearings that we held last summer. We held, I don't know, 8 or 9, I'm not even sure the number. One of them, 800 people showed up.
Yeah, I was there.
And at the Coronado Theater.
Yeah.
And what we found is people who've never had the opportunity to go to school beyond high school were downloading that bill, reading it, digesting it, and understanding. That's phenomenal. I spent 200 hours reading that bill with the trained eyes of an attorney who had been involved in litigation involving construction of statutes. And I struggled with lots of it. Many parts of it I still don't understand to this date. But people will understand it because they know that there's a bigger picture than health care, and that's freedom in this country. The assault upon the health care system was really an assault upon people's freedom. And the cut is so deep into people's hearts that they're saying, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. I believe everybody's essentially a Tea Party person at heart. You know, I mean, the Tea Party people, it started in Boston. You know, we are a nation of revolutionaries. We started that Tea Party, John Adams and all those people, mostly his cousin Sam, said we've had it. And we're going to demonstrate our displeasure by dumping tea into the Boston Harbor. Well, the Tea Party should not refer to a certain group today. It should refer to all of us. Anybody who loves freedom, anybody who believes that blood is worth spilling for the sake of freedom, anybody who believes in all the wars that we have fought have been for a particular purpose, anybody who believes that freedom is more important than tyranny is essentially a Tea Party. So the Tea Party people are simply giving a name to that which is in the heart of every American, and that's the ability and the willingness and the desire to be a free people.
Congressman Manzullo, thanks for coming back onto the Michael Gould Show.
Good to see you.
All right.